and then each other, obviously. All right, let's get started here. A church that seeks to build strong families. We're gonna get into this a little bit now. David Cloud doesn't have the same understanding as what I do, or has not come to the same conclusion as we have here, as far as I take a strong stand against the segregated church model. And part of that's probably because I was never really grounded very strongly in the programs of fundamentalism. I got saved in there, but as soon as I got saved and called to preach and spent a few years there, I saw kind of what it was like after I got out of there, and I didn't really like it a whole lot. I didn't like the segregated church model that much. And once I was presented with the truth of that integrated church model, and I looked at the New Testament, I was like, you know, there isn't any other model, really. I mean, I'm not going to say that churches are evil because they do something else. I'm not saying that I would never go to a church that did that or anything like that. I would, and I have. When I go to those churches, I don't put my children in their Sunday school classes. I keep my children with me. My children don't need to go to Sunday school class. They know how to behave themselves right here. If they don't, they'll learn real quick, right? But that's, you teach them how to behave. You teach them how to learn all those things. And you know what? Sometimes mom has to take them out or dad has to take them out. Things happen, but that's fine. Okay? I'm sure that's how it was when Moses was speaking to all the people in front of the mount and all that was going on. I'm sure they had to take their children aside and deal with them a few times. I'm sure. But you know what? And I'm sure it happened in the New Testament many times in New Testament churches. But I'll show you his take on it, and I'll explain to you where I believe we are correct in what we do, and I think that you will see the fruit of it in years to come. There are people that are scared to come to a church like this because their kids can't behave at all. So they're afraid to bring their children here because their children are used to being entertained all the time, and they can't behave themselves. So Sunday school and those other things turn into like a babysitter's thing and gospel games and all those other things. And that's what really happens for the most part. But that's not the way that God intended it to be. And anyway, so I'll read you some of these things. A godly church is going to focus on building strong families. It does this by training the parents so they in turn can train the children. It does this by encouraging the parents to take the main responsibility for discipling their children rather than turning this most important task over to someone else. It also does this by helping prepare young people for marriage. So, you know, we've preached a lot on marriage. We'll preach a lot more. I'm gonna teach you something today on marriage. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But listen, here's the thing I want you to understand is that you having your children in this church service is teaching you that the responsibility for your children lies with you. You don't have to go deal with the youth pastor or the Sunday school teacher that comes to you and says, well, so-and-so is not behaving themselves. Now, that may happen here. It's happened before. You know, we're outside, they're doing something or whatever. But it's not the same thing as having somebody else teaching your children, putting them off into a Sunday school class somewhere, or putting them off into a junior church where they're playing games by throwing balls in buckets and all kinds of stuff like that. And they're doing all that kind of stuff like the Bozo Show does. And that's church for them. I'm sorry. That's what it's become. I know because I did it. I ran one. I know. You're not going to tell me anything I didn't do. All right. I swallowed the goldfish. That was gross. I chased it down with the Coke, and it kind of wiggles in your stomach. It screams, what a world, as it goes down. Right? Just swims. What are you looking at me like that for, Angela? I was there, okay? You don't know where I've been. No, I don't remember. I think it did. It made me sick, right, Hannah? I don't know. She ran. Because I told them I'd swallow a goldfish if they had. And then, I mean, we also had Gross Sunday, where you make treats that look like poop and everybody eats them. What? What? What's your problem? Joshua wasn't supposed to kill me. That would be like for 100 people coming, not for 5. It's got to be good, man. It's got to draw a big crowd. Right? But all those games, like they would look like puke, or they would look like poop, or like dirt and worms. But that's actually good. That tastes good. Right? But you'd make that, you know, with gummy bears sticking out of the, or gummy worms, sorry. You know what that is. Ryan just had that last week. Remember that big gummy? I do. I remember. Never mind. I just remembered something weird about that. All right. What's that? Moving on. Why do I remember the weirdest thing? Remember when that person bit the ear off? Does anybody remember? I thought that was weird. Like, you really want to bite? It did. It just became hard. No, what did we do with it? Did somebody eat it? They ate it, a bunch of the older kids. Like, Pete's got a gut like, I don't know, like a bomb. Like, you could, like. Lucius. But see, now, I just want you to know that that wasn't a contest. I just had a big fat gummy bear that Aaron gave me. But anyway, so I've seen all those programs and things, and they don't really build anyone's faith. It might hurt your gut. Hi, Timmy. Pastor Coomer says this. He says, there needs to be considerably more teaching on the home, children, and marriage. After presenting a for the Love of the Family concert at a conference, sorry, not conference, concert, at a church, people tell me I've never heard that what you have taught before. We hear this over and over again. Either it's not being taught or no one is listening. Well, it's not being taught. That's why. The things that I have taught on here, most pastors don't touch. Or they have, and I'm not bragging either, because it doesn't make me any friends to teach on those things. It just makes you and I feel uncomfortable so we get right with God. Right? But it's not comfortable. Right? So, I mean, I went to one of those marriage things once. And all they did was stick all I remember about the whole event, the most memorable thing of the event, is them sticking marshmallows in their mouth. And what did they say? Chubby bunny. That's all I remember about the entire conference. No, this was adults. And I'm sure they had some good message on marriage. Right. Or they have the ladies' conferences. Yes, that's where the women preach. Jacob, this is why I have no friends, okay? This is why. I put these things online, and then I have no friends. Nobody. No, they don't. No, you should. You would really like the preaching. Women's preaching. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Why do you remind me of this stuff? That was terrible marriage advice that Ryan gave us. Man. Oh, wait, that wasn't Ryan.
Yeah, that wasn't right.
No, I know who it was. Can't make this stuff up. This is my life. Anyway, but I've seen all those women conferences, all those other things. Yeah. I'm not too impressed by what they teach, to be honest with you. Especially when the main speakers, preachers, are running around the country preaching everywhere and not at home with their families. But anyway, what he's talking about is true, though, because most people don't preach. Most pastors don't preach on marriage. They don't preach on family. They don't preach specifics. They don't preach specifics. The stuff that hurts. Right? Take another deep breath. And another drink of coffee. Oh, wait, that's some kind of tea. I don't know. Probably chicory stuff. He gave me that chick stuff, too. I don't know what's up. It ain't, that chick stuff ain't helping you at all. I'll tell you that right now. It's, oh, you didn't take any. He gave me chick tree stuff or whatever. Great. It'll thank me later. Giannis, you ever had chicory, dickory doc? That's, I had to water it down with coffee. It was horrible, whatever that was. Andrew giving me stuff like that. No, it really is real chicory. I know, you didn't think it was, did you? It is. It's blacker than an ace of spades, though. I don't know what it is. They do?
Wait, you say chicory.
It doesn't matter. It's dandelion root? Is that what it is? I try not to eat grass.
I can do dandelion.
Or weeds. Amen. I agree with him. All right. He goes on to say, I thank the Lord for churches that are taking this task seriously. Talks about one Ken Schaefer, a Schaefer of Great Cumberland Baptist Church. He said, I preach and teach, and I strongly believe that God keeps his word. And I believe God when he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Bible very clearly says that it is the parents' responsibility to teach and train their children. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. You talk about the Bible when you're sitting in your house? And when thou walkest by the way, when you're out and about, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Working with this biblical framework, what can a church do to help a family? Well, first of all, he says, help the family. He says, first of all, churches should also make much of the family. I believe that. But I believe it's the way you organize your church, too, and the way you operate it will make much of the family. There are several biblical ways that we can and should do this. At a Great Cumberland Baptist Church where I have been pastor, he said, since starting the church 8 years ago, we take a month each year and preach and teach with a special emphasis on the family. Well, that's great, but I believe in doing it often, like all the time, putting it in front of your face, all the time reminding you of it, all the time reminding you of the roles that God... See, one thing I don't see here a lot of is talk about the roles of the sexes and the organization, because I'm telling you what, it all comes down to that. If mom doesn't know her place, dad doesn't know his place, the children don't know their place. It's just the truth. It's the way it is. And they've saw such a distorted thing today. It's been so distorted. But I agree with what he's saying. I'm not against it. He's saying that he has special services that recognize that and everything. And that's fine. I'm not much of a special service type guy. I really don't do a lot of that. I don't know. I just never seen the pizzazz in doing that. Like printing up flyers. And when we first got started, they used to make me print up these bulletins and just change it to Old Paths Baptist Church's stuff. And I had to make these bulletins for everybody every week. And put some pastor's pen thing in there that I had to make up that I hated so much. So embarrassing. And I had to make these. It would have like leaves on the front or something. And every week would be a different theme. And it would be like, okay. Can we stop now, please? This is not me. They would have like attendance in there and the offerings and like. I don't know. Whatever else, some fancy thing, some... We didn't have any building funds, so I don't know what we put in ours, but I don't know. I hated it so much. I was like, this... I hated it so much. This secretary would have to remind me, you ever going to send this in, Pastor? No, I hate it. It stinks. No, I used to have to go pick them up there. They folded them for me. Yeah, I didn't fold. What are you kidding? Luba probably had to do that. Right? They have secretaries up there doing it, right? Fold those bulletins. And all they do is change, like, the name of the church and all the information stays the same way. I'm sorry. I'm just not a good fundy. I just never was good at it. I was like, this is not going to work for me. Like, I don't do very... I mean, I know, like, this is called Keeping the Kids, but I don't... But that's because that's what the book is called, and I thought it was good, so I just used it. And talk about raising children and everything like that, but like, I'm not... Like, I don't follow this. Like, I don't have any of my stuff besides the Bible. I don't follow word for word. I never do. It's just not me. I'm not that kind of guy. I can't do that. I just... Yeah. Right, like some of you might expect something, but I wouldn't, because I never, I mean, I can't guarantee you that I'm always going to do that,
right?
Like that, because I'm not always going to do that. Just like this third message that I have today, which was written yesterday morning, because I thought you wanted more on Sunday, so I just, I thought you wanted to talk about marriage today, so I thought, okay, that'd be good. So it ties right in there. I know we'll all be smiles and puppy dogs and rainbows when we're done. Amen. So this is not me, Jacob. So pay attention. There is much advertising and promotion. Many people are interested in how to have a better family. And a special theme is given. For example, the themes for the last 2 years at our church were having a healthy home and helping the home. Some of the topics were the joy of the family, training the next generation, dealing with difficulties, and signs of a healthy home. Now, I'm not against him doing that, okay? I'm just, don't look for any bulletins for me like that. Don't look for banners behind me of trendy little sayings for the year, because I'm not going to do that. Because how am I supposed to know if God wants me to preach that the whole year? How do these people know that's what God wants them to do every day for the rest of their year? That's exactly what God wants them to do. All the time. I don't know that much. I don't know how they do. Maybe there's something wrong with me, but I just don't know that much. I don't know that on like the eighth Sunday of this, that it's going to be like, I don't know. What do they do? Like, oh, who cares? Anyway, it's like, yeah. Like, I don't, they plan all that out, and I'm just like, okay. I couldn't with a, could you imagine me coming with a straight face to you and being like, this is a spring in, or this is a fall into something Sunday, something weird like that. And I just, and I hung up leaves everywhere, and I just had you come in, and we all just looked at leaves and talked about fall and stuff, and like we had this theme and like banners up everywhere. Like, could you imagine me doing that? Well, no, look at Aaron, he's not even awake. He couldn't imagine me doing that. As lightning fell from heaven. It's just not, I don't believe in that, like, programmy stuff. I never have. I just never thought it was, I don't. It does to me. I'm sure they mean well. I'm not putting them down. I'm sure they mean well. I can't do it. I'm not that guy. Like, I couldn't even make you think I was that guy. Like, I wouldn't be good at making you think I was that guy. Because I say words like, they made treats like poop, right? So when a guy says that, you can't take that guy serious, right? You just can't. Like, when it comes to that, you're not gonna be like, this guy don't have a theme. He doesn't do that kind of stuff.
Right.
But they're too dignified to say stuff like that. But they're also too dignified to call you out on your sin and call you to repentance when you're wrong. They won't go to you when you're going to leave the church and be like, not so fast. Wait a second. Before you walk out the door and destroy your life, let's talk about it for a minute.
Yep.
Let's make sure you're accountable for what you're doing. So you gotta look in the mirror and understand everything you're gonna do, you're doing on your own. And you're doing it with your eyes wide open. They're not gonna do that. They're not gonna warn you like that. They just don't. They just watch it happen.
Yeah.
Because it's cleaner that way. I know how messy it can get helping people. I'm telling you. The messiest business I've ever been in is not dirty, stinky, rotten vacuums. It's soul business. I'll tell you that right now. I've ran across the meanest people you ever met in your life, and it sure wasn't drug dealers, and it sure wasn't that guy on the street last week ready to knife me or ready to shoot me or anything else. It's been people in churches. I ain't even kidding you. So that's just real life. Secondly, churches can take time during the year to have sermons or lessons on the practical side of parenting. This, I believe, is important. The role and responsibility of family members is a worthy focus. When I first became pastor here, my four children were all in their teens, and church naturally attracted families with teens. As a result of this focus, my focus fell more on dealing with teenagers and how to help them establish their own relationship with their Heavenly Father, how to have personal devotions, how to have an effective prayer time, how to be a witness for Christ, how to deal with setbacks in the Christian walk. These are all areas where we would spend time in the Word of God, and I believe we'd be amazed at how many in our churches do not have a good grasp of these basic issues. I agree with that. You know how they get the basic grasp, though? You practice it in front of them. You practice it in front of them. After a few years, we had many, many newborns in the church, and we concentrated more on helping the family with issues they would face with young children. Which is funny, because we've been through all those things here as a church. We're still bringing a lot of newborns in, but still having a lot, amen, and still more to come, praise the Lord. But we also have children that are getting older, and we've got to minister to their needs. We've got to help those children. They need the Lord. They need help. They need guidance, and they need direction. You know, we've got to help those families that are having children and those that are having older children and our children that are coming along and they're at older ages and they're about to ready. They're at different points going to face the world. Additionally, he said, I cannot understate the importance of this. The family should be shown how to have family devotions. Family devotions are such as an important but neglected part of the Christian family. It is time to draw together as the family draws closer to the Lord. As best as I can recall, every year we have taken a portion of a service, usually one where I was preaching on the family, and actually have had family devotions so that families can see how it can be done. He said, in the Shaver, family devotions consist of a moment of scripture memorization, a time of singing, a time of Bible reading. Sometimes we also read a Christian biography or story like Pilgrim's Progress. We do a various number of different things, and I've instructed you on those before, and I've offered you materials for you to be able to do that too as well. I think sometimes one thing that I've used is that Jonathan Park series, you know, and I've used that to sit down and explain my children that it's an audio drama type thing, but it's very interesting, and it helps the children to stay focused and understand a creation worldview and to grasp some of those issues, and I think they're very helpful for young people, and I recommend them. I do. Do I agree with everything 100%? No, it's not the Bible, but there's a lot of good things, a lot of good things there, and I recommend that. I also, you know, we've played Pilgrim's Progress. We've listened to Spurgeon's devotion. Spurgeon has 2-minute devotions on sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com and you just go to and you type in Spurgeon's devotions, you can get, he has 2.5-minute morning and evening devotions. And they're about 2.5 to 3 minutes long, and you can listen to some of those. Those are helpful. Sometimes it's just taking one word and teaching your children one word from the Bible and then having your children pray together. You know, sometimes we pick one or two of the children to pray. Lee said in his family, they pick a family to pray for. And they pray, right? You guys pray for that family every night. Is it every night you do that? Try a different family every night. And that's what he does. Why? Well, it teaches them discipline. It teaches them to focus when they're praying. And it teaches them about the needs of other families that they have. And it gives them this care for other people that they should pray for those other people. Right? So that's part of his devotions that he does with his family. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that we can do. You can do object lessons. You can use lessons in nature. You can use a lot of different things. You can read portions of sermons. I have a bunch of them that I'm going to probably try to review this year. Richard Newton was called the Prince of Preachers to the youth, and I have a ton of his books in there that Brother Scott bought for us, and I intend on using a bunch of those. My wife used... Is it Giants? I don't know which one you use, the first one. There's one on Giants. Lucius, do you remember? I don't know where Lucius is. He must have ran off here to the restroom. Okay. But I think it was one on Giants. What was it? Facing the Giants? Is that something like that? Okay. But it was by Richard Newton, and he wrote these sermons he preached towards children for 30 years of his ministry or something like that. And Spurgeon nicknamed him that, the Prince of Preachers to Children, because that's what he did. I mean, he preached to them, and their lessons are good. In fact, I preached a sermon to you that I got an outline from him that helped me years ago. Do you remember that sermon I preached, When Sinners Entice Thee and What to Do? That came from an outline from him. And it was, yeah, that was years ago that I preached that. But that came from, I have some of his original books from the 1850s in there that are first prints, but Scott had to buy me some paperbacks so I don't destroy those relics that are back there, because they're very rare, and I'd really like to keep on to them. But those are good books, and he talks a lot about that, and he walks children through different things. So many different things that we can do to help them. And we can talk about those, and we have talked about those. But those things are important. Teaching our children in-depth Bible studies. You know, you don't try to do in-depth Bible studies with children that are younger. As they grow older and they get older, you can do more. But it doesn't have to be super long. You know, but as your children grow older, your daughters and your sons, issues like modesty, biblical principles for entertainment, and other relevant things. Additionally, he said, we work very hard at keeping it light and upbeat. So basically, he doesn't use his devotion time to just browbeat the kids about everything they've done wrong, right? Or to preach to his wife. Go over and be like, look, woman! He's saying, don't use that time for that. Have instruction. It's okay. Sometimes I use, like, things that the kids are working on, but it doesn't browbeat them, but it's to encourage them to say, you know, this is an area we talked about. What does the Bible say about this? You know, this is practically why it's important. Look at this area in your life, right? So we try to help them with that, and you use the Bible time to do that. You don't have to be too harsh on them. You're not trying to embarrass them or make them feel bad. You're trying to instruct them and teach them the right way. So you don't have to really, you know, you're not preaching to them in a hard fashion. You're trying to instruct them and encourage them to do right, right? He said, one of my greatest joys as a pastor is to have a parent bring their child to me and let their child share the fact that they trusted Christ during their family devotions. This shows me that dad and mom are taking home what they are learning at church, and it's impacting their family. He said, finally, another help I believe the church can provide is to make opportunities for families to serve the Lord together. We have families who work in the bus ministry together. We don't have a bus ministry because I don't believe in the model. However, I think we should go out to them. And we have services in nursing homes together, he said, sing together, clean the church together, visit folks together, you know. And I would say, to go even further than that, helping people move, helping them fix things, helping people in their homes, right? Providing things for them, giving them food, taking care of them, helping them around their house, all those kind of things are important. Yeah, exactly. 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 Right? But that sticks in your children's mind, right? That sticks in their mind that you went out of your way to help somebody. They think about that. Right? As they get older, they think about that. It becomes normal then for help other people. And that's what we want, right? We want to help one another out and not expect, well, you got to pay me for it. No. There's things that you'll do to get paid from people out there in the world. You know, but most of the time, we're just going to help each other. And plus, you're going to learn a lot, right? Our children are going to learn a lot from that. And that's what's important to teach them along the way. Teach them that we really believe what we preach and we really do love people. Anyway, so serving the Lord together is very important. Your family ought to serve the Lord together. There ought to be things that you do together to serve the Lord. You know, Brother Ryan at the Tract Ministry and just helping out. The little ones coming down and helping out, right? Things like that. There's things that we ought to all do, right? In Ryan's Chinese sweatshop down there. But right, Micah? Is that why you're laughing, Micah? You didn't what? You didn't want to call little? Oh, little. Oh, you didn't want to be called little. Okay, big guy. I almost spit this water out, so I just stopped. It's great when you can laugh at your own jokes, but... Micah, you walk right into it. But you've got to be my favorite booger to pick, I'm telling you. One of them, anyway. Micah's a good sport. He is. We have a lot of fun, don't we, Micah? We had a lot of fun on our trip, and hey, man, we did. He changed shirts about 600 times, but... Isn't that right, Micah? I want to take a drink, but I'm going to laugh again at you, so I better wait. No, but seriously, we worked together down there, didn't we? You remember that last time we did the tracks down there and everything? I don't remember what that was. Man, that's been a long time. Was it really? I wonder if COVID will stop Halloween this year. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. He said one pastor, he talks about a major emphasis of the church should be to build the men to take their spiritual responsibilities seriously. Absolutely. Right? And that's what we try to do here, put men the responsibility on men to lead their families. The unmarried man must be prepared for adulthood and marriage within God's will. And the married men must be prepared to lead their homes as godly husbands and fathers. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, actually. One pastor wrote, "We have various times when our fathers are asked to teach or to speak so that their own children may know that their father is a voice to be listened to within the congregation." I don't have a problem with that if they want to speak. Some men don't want to speak, and they don't have to either. But the responsibility in leadership is put on men. You know, the importance of men to do that. Of course, a lot of these people don't do what our men do. Our men go out in the street and preach. And they go out and we all go as a team together. And we're all the same. We're all out there preaching. We're all out there trying to help people. And talking to sinners. And they see the importance of that. Our young men see the importance of men being out there and preach it. By the way, we're going out this Saturday, Lord willing. So, Pastor Mike Sullivan in Pembina Valley Baptist Church in Winkler, Manitoba, focuses on training the men to be men of God and effective husbands and fathers. You know, he does different retreats and things. We thought about doing one of those sometime for the men, doing some things like that. And I'm not against that at all. But I think a lot of these churches have to depend on things like that because they don't already do things together as a church family.
Right.
I mean, they don't go out like at Paul's house and do all the stuff that those guys did together, and half of them are chopping wood over there and doing all this other stuff, or Lucius going over and Dave teaching him how to is that a maul? Is that what he had? Teach him how to use a maul. He did pretty good, didn't he? He got it down. You know what I mean? Or learning different trades and different techniques and different things from different people, right? I think it's better when it's more organic and natural like that.
Right.
To teach, you know what I mean? It goes a lot further in their minds when they learn those things like that. It just does. It sticks with young men when they have people that invest in their lives, right? To teach them. So I think those things are important to do. Now, he's going to go on. He starts off with, along this line, there is a serious problem with the typical segregated church. Now, he says, "I don't believe it's wrong to have children's classes and youth classes. It appears that most churches have too much segregation between children and youth." Well, can't you see that the entire model segregates them, period? The model is designed to segregate them.
Right.
And I know, I can understand David Cloud can't really talk about that like I could, because he goes to a lot of churches that follow that model. And that's not popular. Because what would the church do without the youth pastor? A lot. What would they do without gospel games? Right? He says that too much segregation between children. You know, there's been a divide that has taken place in churches. And what it's done is it's caused the adults and the children not to mingle together anymore. Do you realize that most people are so deathly afraid to bring their children to church in most churches that the old people are going to get upset with them, or somebody's not going to like them because they're going to do things that they don't like, or they're going to be loud? So what do? They shoo off the children into a program that's age segregated for them. Right. To meet their needs, so to speak. Right. And again, I'm not saying that none of those children get saved. people get saved in prison, but I don't want to go there. All right? I'm not saying they don't get saved. What I'm saying is, what's the use of it? Why has it become so popular? Well, it's so people are comfortable in the assembly. There's no interruptions. I can't believe these big-name preachers that couldn't stand. They used to have ushers usher, like Jack Hiles used to have ushers usher out babies that were crying. You can't preach through babies crying. So God can't move in the hearts of people when babies are crying. So the Holy Ghost of God doesn't convict anybody when babies are crying. So when I'm preaching to you against sin, you can't really, it doesn't really affect you because babies are crying. Really? I thought that was weird. It just goes by the whole, that's like the whole everybody bow your heads and close your eyes thing. Why? Well, nobody looking around. Why? Are you ashamed to get saved? Or what? I mean, that's, what are you saying to people when you tell them that?
Yeah, we can do it quietly.
Yeah. Right, it's to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Look, I'm not saying nobody ever got saved invitation. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the mentality of that is not biblical, right? Consider the following testimony by pastors. We have youth ministries for the youngest to the teens. However, I believe the church is a family of faith and that the whole family needs to know each other and fellowship with one another. That would be contrast in where youth are segregated and have little contact with adults of the church. We have teens standing and talking with our elderly people at the service, and the adults are all interested in the children, talking with them and getting to know them and respond to them. You all should know each other's children well. I mean, we should be able to talk to each other. I mean, why would that be? That I think it's odd that you wouldn't know them, right? That you know it's important for somebody else other than your parents to actually take an interest in the in your children too, like acknowledge their existence, that they're alive, and that they're not annoyed by them, that they actually care for them, and they pray for them, and they want them to be saved, and they want to see them raised for God, instead of shooing them off to somewhere so some young entertainment guy can entertain them for the whole time.
They also take their warning. Yes. Oh. Our time. That. Got it.
Right.
Yeah. They call us a cult, but then most churches, every church, we went, go in, have their sermon, everybody walks out, or no, they have the,
shake the hands time?
Everybody's hand stuff. You don't have time to buddy, so that's why they those little, put them on, get to know each other.
No, they don't, like, the churches that I've been through, well, not all of them, but the, one of the churches that I went through, put it that way. We laugh at Andrew. I'm trying to be discreet in my old age, okay? Trying to be nice, all right? It's hard for me sometimes, all right? But, like, nobody knew anybody. Nobody really talked to it. I mean, and honestly, none of them look like they like each other. They don't look like they like each other. I had like a handful of people that ever had any interest in me at all in that entire church. Maybe two hands. Barely. And that's just the truth. But see, when you come here, here's the thing, and it's not because even if there was 150, 200 people here, it'd be the same thing. You can't get around, like people are going to look at you like, you doing all
right?
You can't hide very good that things aren't going well, right? You just can't hide that very well if something's bothering you. You may think you're hiding it, but you ain't hiding it, right? Something's bothering you, or you're having a hard day or something. You can't hide it that well. Why? Because we all know each other, all
right?
You can't do that, right? Look, you guys have seen me on my best days and you've seen me on my worst days. And you know I can't hide it that well. I just can't. If I'm having a rough time, I can't hide it that well. Right? Well, here's news for you. You don't either. You may think you do, but you don't either. I can see it. I just try to encourage you, you know, with what you're going through. But I know what I know too. I can tell when you're not doing well. So that's the way it's supposed to be. People are supposed to care about you. They're supposed to actually take it in. When you're not at church, it's good that somebody's like, hey, how you doing? You doing all right? That's the way it's supposed to be, right? That, wow, somebody actually cares that I'm not there. It's the way it should be. It's the way God intended it to be. Right? No. One guy said, we must stop the children's and youth ministries as babysitting activities. True. He said, our children and youth attend all the preaching and teaching times with their parents. We encourage our fathers and mothers to be ministers. Our church does all other activities together, soul winning visitation, I don't know what that word is, camps, and we do not encourage teaching in classes apart from direct parental involvement. I don't either. I don't see that it's necessary. We do not encourage teaching classes apart from direct parental involvement. We do have Sunday school classes, but our parents are encouraged to visit in the classes, and we do all of our youth and children to be part of the classes. So he does a hybrid type of a situation where he's at. We have various times where our fathers are asked to teach or to speak. I was raised Southern Baptist and did all the typical Sunday school church growth junk and discovered that we assume our children and youth will be bored, and when we seek to keep them happy by entertainment, pizza parties, when they get too old for the entertainment classes, they find big church is boring and move on. Right? Because somebody entertained them. Somebody tickled their ears. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to see your soul saved so you don't burn in a devil's hell for all of eternity. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here for any of those reasons. I care about your soul. You're going to die someday, and you're going to stand before God, and the books are going to be open. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity. And no bozo game shows and dropping balls in buckets and dressing up like clowns and swallowing goldfish and entertaining you is going to help.
Right.
That's not going to see your soul saved. That's not going to see you come to repentance and faith in Christ. It's not going to help you not turn out to be a whore, a harlot, or a devil somewhere. Amen. That's straightforward truth. Which is exactly what you need to be sober and serious. Amen. He talks about two major problems he sees in the two different programs that are there. He says, first, we have contributed to it ourselves with the children's church, master clubs, and different groups like that, Patch the Pirate, whatever you call it. Years also, the youth groups were not held during the church time. Now, in first through sixth grade, in our fundamentalist churches, we have games as well as the lesson, and then we sing little chorus songs. We take teens out of the church on Wednesday nights as well. When the kids finally begin attending a main church service, they are 18 years old. For years, they have been taught that this is to be fun time. Singing hymns instead of lively choruses bores them. Although the dress standards and music standards have been good, they were in children's ministry rather than church. As a result, it seems boring to them, and they start attending a contemporary church because it seems like fun. By the way, before David Cloud ever wrote this, I preached this to you years ago. I said that's why these kids were leaving the way they were leaving. Do you remember that? Years ago when I preached the myth of age segregation exposed, or exploded, whichever. And I talked about that. And I said, the reason why? Well, you entertained them to death. Yeah, you made church to be, it had to be all this fun stuff, and if it wasn't this fun stuff, well, then they're going to go somewhere where the real fun is. Right, because it's addicting. Right, are never satisfied. That's right. It taught them to expect church to be entertaining. Then far too many parents are saying, at least they're going to church, not recognizing the damage being done by a compromising church that leads to the second thing I see that is wrong. He said, because we have these other programs during church, the workers are not being fed from the pulpit. That's the other thing. Man, you know, let me tell you something. I have seen some of the most liberal, some of the most backslidden, some of the most wicked people in churches today, and they're teaching junior church and Sunday school classes and all these other things, and they're not hearing the preaching of God's Word. They're not hearing strong forward preaching. They're out serving and doing all these things together, and guess what happens? You got a bunch of weak people that aren't under preaching, teaching other people, and they're not walking with God. They don't have a separated walk with God. Because they're, all they're doing is teeny bopping with the teenagers over there, playing gospel games with them, and all those other things, and they're not in church getting the devil preached out of them. They're not all together, all hearing the same thing, all learning the same thing. And it weakens people. And they're weak. I'm telling you, weak. And sinful, and no separation. That's what happens. Very much so. Yeah, it is. That's right. I believe that model is one of the main problems with fundamentalism today. That model right there. I don't even have to read the rest of a lot of this stuff. I'm going to go into another hour here, and it's not with this. So we're going to take a break for a few minutes, and then we're going to come back. But listen, I don't need to read a lot of this stuff because I've already seen it. We've already dealt with it here. He said, children will learn more from their peers than they will from their teachers. I'm always a little leery if your children are trying to escape under the eyes of parents. That's why if you notice here, somebody lets me know if some young people are just running around out here and there's no adults out here. I want adult when if there's boys and girls around, I want adults around. I want adults watching them. Why? You don't trust me? No, I don't. Are you kidding me? I don't trust human nature, friend. And I love you and I care about your purity. I don't want you to destroy your life. I don't want you to go through things like that. I don't want you to mar your conscience. I don't want you to have to cry in your prayer closet because you can't get thoughts and stuff out of your mind that you did before. I want you to marry somebody and stay pure the rest of your life. So I'm going to watch you like a hawk. And I'm going to have these parents that are to love you to watch you like a hawk. To keep you in the way that you should go. And you might get mad at me for doing it. But you got to understand that never bothers me.
Amen.
I'm used to people being mad at me.
Right.
It's part of my calling. And it isn't because I think one or two of you are evil people or anything like that. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. It has to do with I understand youth.
Right.
And you know what I've learned the hard way about youth? We just lack discernment when we're young.
Yep.
And God said to teach them discernment.
Right.
Foolishness is bound there like nobody has to put it there. You ever realize it don't take anything to make you act stupid sometimes? I mean, I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about us. Like, it don't take us nothing to act like a fool, does it?
Nope.
Yeah, Lee. No. Yeah. It doesn't. I mean, we're really good at being foolish. I mean, like, no one has to teach us. Who showed you that? Nobody. I thought that dumb thing up myself.
Yes, sir. Right.
I had that much stupid stuck in there. Right? And I shouldn't have let it out of my brain. That should not have come across my lips. Right? So I care about you and I don't want you to get trapped. I don't want you to develop things that you shouldn't develop too early. I don't want you to think about things that you shouldn't think about too early. I don't want any of that for you. So that's why. That's why I don't like those models. That's why I think they're wrong. I think they push boyfriend and girlfriend stuff. I think they push it. I think they I think that's their design. Why? Because it's designed from the world. That's why.
Yep.
You think age segregation started in churches? No. It's a worldly philosophy. It is an absolute worldly philosophy. Yeah. Go look at all the old rooms, the old churches. How many rooms do they have? One. Yep. And you got plenty of time to get married someday and to live that life and to explore that and do all those things. But now it's time for you to focus on learning, growing, developing, and living a life for God. Amen? Look, believe me, we'll all be happy to see you walk down the aisle to get married. Right? I'm thinking that we're going to have a lot of cake. I mean, there's what? 35? How many children? 30? Just keep going up. That's a lot of weddings. I have a feeling they're going to come like, when they come, they'll be in like succession, like a machine gun going off. Sorry, the meeting house is taken this week for another wedding. You'll have to move your wedding. We can go to the park and have it, but everybody's celebrating the other one, so I don't know how that's going to work. Right? It'll be exciting to see that, but I want it done right. Right? We want to help you. Right. And you and I and others that didn't do things right, we don't need to sit in sorrow over that. What we need to do is put all of our energy into helping them do right. Right? Do you understand that? Don't get it backwards. The Lord's already forgiven me for everything back there. I got to put all my energy forth to help you to do everything the way that God wants you to do it. Right? That's what we're going to do. That's how we focus our energy. That's how we focus things. Yeah, what is that? Was that his wedding? Okay, let me look at it. Oh, okay. Let me see here. That was at the museum, yeah. Let's see if it'll catch up here. Wait a second here until this comes on. But, and I'll get to that. So my point with this is this. We understand the youth department. We understand... Listen to this. One pastor said it this way. I believe a church that keeps the heart of a child is one that keeps children around the influence of parents and older men and women. Titus 2 gives us a good place to start with this. Too large a portion of our youth ministry is folly, and the Bible is clear that a companion of fools will be destroyed. We need to point young people to adulthood in their teenage years and promote their God-given roles in life as men and ladies. I especially find that young boys around 13 are eager to live up to the expectations of older men through work and ministry. I believe that too. Right? Too many youth pastors are foolish children that have no business being an example of manhood to our young people. That is absolutely correct. You know, the youth pastor that, and I don't need to get into this, we're going to take a break, but the youth pastor the last youth pastor that I saw at a church, I mean, all it was a bunch of games. It was just a bunch of games, and guess what? He ended up in fornication, leaving his wife and shacking up with somebody else. Right? And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling you that's the model. But I think it's interesting that our young men, they can learn different things from different people. Just like Lucius was, Lucius and I, we were over at Dad and Mom's. Brother Dave was out there, and Lucius said, "Hey, I want to learn to use that maul." And Dave said, "Okay, well, I'm going to teach you first, but you're going to start with this stick." And he started him out with this stick, and he started him using that stick and learning how to swing with it. Well, after about, 15 minutes, he had him using that. He had his feet in the right place, and he made him get his technique down. Well, after a while, he was getting it, right? He learned that yesterday. We went over to Lee's house, and the weed whacker that Lee fixed for us, we had over there, and Lucius was trying to figure out how to get something off, and Lee said, "Well, why don't you just come over?" And I said, "Okay, well, Lucius, Lee's going to teach you how to do this, so you know how to do it yourself." And he sat there, and Lee showed him how to take the string out, how to deal with it, how to do everything. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. Do you see what I mean? That's what our young men are supposed to be learning. That's how they're supposed to be learning it.
Right.
Practical things of life. Now, we have fun, too. Joshua and Dave were out there, and last week Joshua had a white shirt on, and it was black. Right? And we do that stuff, too. But the point is, they're learning things, too.
Right.
They're learning things about life.
Yep.
What men do and how men deal with different things. Right. It's not like, it's not some scripted thing that's not real. Hey, Ben. Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's a lot of people out there like that. Mean people. So, I'm going to watch who you run your mouth to, too. Hey, Ben. Joshua was, yeah. She got it clean. But you see the model, the difference. By the way, let me tell you something. And this is, I'm not bragging or anything like that. I'm just telling you the facts. You take the example of the children in this church and you put the example up against children in the average Sunday schools.
Any day.
And see what they talk about.
Yep.
See what they understand about the scriptures. See how they look at the Bible. And not just a bunch of facts. And see how they deal with one another and all those things.
Right.
There's a difference.
Amen.
There's a difference. So, why? Because, like I preached a long time ago, the method matters. It matters. It's still important today. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get right back into it here. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all you do for us. Help us, Lord, to be able to keep the children, Lord. Help us to be able to keep them from evil, from this world. Keep their hearts, Lord, to win their hearts. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.